Indigo Girls and Outlaw Country Shit Kicking, which is from the new joint called Look Long. I've got Amy and Emily here. Both of you in Georgia, but different places in Georgia. I'm in Tennessee, which I did not plan on being here. Well, actually, I take that back. I should have been here rehearsing for a tour, arriving about right now and turning John Henry over to his mom for the summer. And, you know, we would have been, I would have been right in the middle of a promotional tour, which I can't do that either. It's sort of weird. It's not what we're used to doing. What do you normally do when a record comes out? Do you still do promo tours and the whole thing? I do. You know, I have to. Do you get on an airplane? Do you go to radio stations and that kind of stuff?
We do a little bit of that, but we're not really, like, we get a lot of support from public radio with some AAA stations.
Same deal.
And, you know, some mixed Americana stations and so on, but not really a radio.
My radio base is exactly the same as yours, I think.
Yeah, we love visiting public radio stations, especially like small community ones.
Right.
We enjoy that. And then up until fairly recently, we would do a record store visit or two.
I still do them because the record stores, all these mom and pop record stores that have been so important to artists like us, and especially now, one of the few growth areas in selling records is vinyl, because I'm used to, we used to make records for girls, now we make them for nerds. And it's like, so that kind of stuff, specialty items are a big part of the business. And I normally I go to those mom and pop stores, I put out a piece for Record Store Day every year. And that's what I would be doing. I would be going to Twist and Shout, and I would be, you know, going to Amoeba, and I'd be going to, you know, Waterloo and Cactus. I have to say Cactus because the guy that owns my record label also owns that record store, so I better get that one in there. But, you know, now we can't do that, and we're having to try to figure out other stuff to do.
You know, it's a crazy because it's, yeah, we're so used to road dogging it, but we have been doing live streams once a week on Thursdays, and I did a bunch of solo ones. Mm-hmm. Emily did some stuff with, I think she did a Q&A with Brandi Clark and some other stuff, and I did some solo stuff, and then we got together, and we're doing them, and we're kind of do like fundraisers for different things, too, when we do them.
Me too. Music Cares, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so we're just trying to, our community is so awesome, so they're very engaged online, and they really have been supportive of this. But I mean, I guess we're just going to keep doing that, you know, and trying to get creative and innovative. But it'll feel like a huge party when we can finally safely tour. You know, it's going to
Oh, no, it will be. Because, I mean, I've seen your community up close several times. We've played a lot of the same festivals. I saw it on Kayama really close when you're on the Kayama cruise. And it's just that thing of when you have fans like that and they literally follow you all over the world. And it's a community that's about something on a lot of levels. It has to do with music. It has to do with just like community in general. It has to do with politics, you know, sometimes. It has to do with, you know, ideas. And that's the cool thing about this is I think, you know, the way the record business is now, and I guess we're seeing a real extreme version of it in the pandemic. But a friend of mine said, the good news is that nowadays with the technology, anybody can make a record. The bad news is anybody can make a record. So it's one of the, you have, it comes down to just trying to do the best work that you can do. And I just try not to let people down. These people have been paying my alimony for a long time, and they've been loyal. They've stuck in there with me, and you witnessed it to some degree, I think, in Atlanta. It's part of what you were saying. I kind of went away because of my own stuff. And then when I came back, realizing that there were people that were sitting there waiting for me, just in case I didn't die, and they were there for me when I didn't, that's a big deal. That's your real community. That's your real audience when it gets right down to it. And you can make a really good living and, you know, just catering to that audience that buys every single thing that you put out.
The cool thing about now, too, in our audience is that they're all in communication with you. Not all, but so many of them are in communication with each other as well.
Right.
So they have their own communities within our umbrella community. And then during the live streams, they're all talking to each other. They've set it up, distancing out in their yards, and they're listening together. And it's just a real sense of community. And Amy and I feel not only grateful, but committed to that community. So it's really special. We're really, really thankful.
Let's get back to some more music from the new record.
Country radio is about, it's about a feeling. And I spent a lot of time in Nashville, drive up and down that road from Atlanta to Nashville. And on the way back, I always listen to country music. Either I catch the stations as I can pick them up in my car, or listen to CDs or whatever it is. Now it's not CDs anymore. But anyway, I started listening to these beautifully written stories. And they're stories written by men or women about relationships between men and women. And I realized that I could not fit my own story and my own life into these songs that I loved so, so much. And whether or not they had gender specific pronouns, you know, it's just a feeling. It's a feeling of wistfulness and otherness. And so I just decided to write a song about that. And I picked a character, a gay kid in a small town, and the story that came out of that feeling that I had. So it's called Country Radio.
This is the Indigo Girls in Outlaw Country.